John chapter 14, verse 7 through 18 is where we're going to begin this morning. Message titled, Jesus is the Answer to Finding Guidance. How do we find guidance in our lives as Christians? How do we find guidance in our lives as fathers? Who do we look to as the perfect father that we may imitate, that we may do things correctly? It's very difficult to do that. Our cultures change. The first thought that comes to my mind, well, we'll just do it just the way your dad did it. And he must have done something right because you're here and you're safe and you've survived life thus far. But cultures change drastically from generation to generation. I found out evidence of that. The new Baptist hymnal has come out. It will be coming out on August the 8th. And I was able to get a hold of a few editions, commemorative editions at the convention this past week. And it's amazing flipping through the hymnals in 15, 16 years since the last hymnal was published, how things have changed in the music area. Well, things changed in life in general as well. We have the advent now of the computer all around us, and probably most of you have a computer in your home or at least access to one. And where some temptations used to be hidden and difficult to come across, now they're just a click of a mouse away. The kids deal with drug issues in school today that I've never heard of before. Back when I was in high school, I knew some people who smoked marijuana. I've heard of the hardcore drug addicts that would use cocaine, but now there's drugs I've never heard of before. I don't even know what crystal meth is, but yet it's so popular in our schools. Ecstasy is out there. And Debbie, to me, ecstasy was the all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet at Shoney's. That was ecstasy. And now there's a drug for that, and I don't think it has the same effects, but I don't know what it does. But it's out there, and it's real. But the thing is, the sins are the same. The temptations are the same. If it be lust, if it be drugs, if it be whatever it may be, power. The sins are the same. Rebellion against God. The sins are the same, but the avenue in which they come to us maybe has changed somewhat. And it's in a way that the previous generation just couldn't understand. Well, if things are changing so much, how can we be relevant to our children? Well, I submit to you the way to do that is to know God's Word. And that's why our relationship with Jesus is so important. The relevance of the Bible spans all the generations. And to understand the relevance of our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus, will help us in the guidance that we need as dads, and the guidance we need as parents, the guidance we need to have as the children of God. John's desire for us is that we understand how to have a relationship with Jesus. And we see this demonstrated in the verses we'll look at today. Look at chapter 14, verse 7. He says this, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Philip said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else me, or believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Who comes into whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. May the Lord add the blessings to the reading of his word. He's telling us here that we need to understand our relationship with God, and we can do that in three different ways. One way is this. We need to understand that our relationship with Jesus is incarnational. is incarnational. If you're taking notes today on your sermon pad or whatever that's in the bulletin, I encourage you to do it sideways and make a column of these first points right here, then the second point and third point, all right? It'll make sense at the end. Our relationship with Jesus is incarnational. What do I mean by incarnational? Well, I mean it in relationship to three things here. One thing is in relationship to his authority. The text began with Jesus saying, well, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. If you know me, you know the Father also. I am in my Father, my Father's in me. He's talking about this incarnational relationship that he has with the Father. And we see this in relation, first of all, to his authority. In relation to his authority. He's the incarnation. Well, what is the incarnation? Think about it. The Bible says that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He's God incarnate. If you look up the word incarnation in the Webster's Dictionary, you'll find something like this. It's an endowment with a human body. It takes on the taking on of human form and nature by Jesus, the Son of God. In Webster's, it says that. Describes it as Jesus being the Son of God. And also says this, any person or thing serving as the embodiment of a quality or concept. Any person or thing serving as the embodiment of a quality or concept is the incarnation of that concept or that quality. Jesus is telling us here, if you've seen the Father, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is the incarnational relationship here is demonstrated between God the Father and God the Son. If you've seen one, you've seen the embodiment of the other. But it also tells us in that text that Jesus subjected himself to the authority of the Father. He says, I don't speak on my own authority in verse 10. When I speak, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me. So he speaks on behalf of the Father. He says elsewhere, the works I do is what the Father shows me that I should do. He's always under the authority of his heavenly Father. And the Bible also teaches us that the authority that Jesus possessed was given to him by the Father. All of the authority that he possessed was given him by the Father. But the Bible teaches us that he was all authority. It was all authority was given unto him. Jesus was incarnational as far as the authority of God is concerned. But it goes a little further. He's also incarnational with relation to his works. It says that in verse the last part of verse 10 and verse 11. It says, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of all the works themselves. The Father in him does the work themselves. Who does the works? When he says what he's accomplished, what has drawn people to himself, what's the source of those works, the works of God? It's the Father who is working through Jesus. Why is that? Because he's the embodiment of the Son of God. He's the embodiment of a deity. He's the embodiment of God. He's the embodiment of the quality and concepts of God. So what works is he talking about? Well, if we think back to our study of John, we looked at the great works of the seven miracles that we saw performed from the marriage feast at Cana, all the way to the rising of Lazarus from the dead. So when we see these things, he's saying, believe in me, if not nothing else, but for the works themselves. Now, all through our study of the miracles of John, we talked about the importance of looking beyond the miracle and seeing Christ and the Savior. Believe in the miracles, but trust in Jesus was our theme for about 7 weeks. And here he's saying, well, believe in the sake of the works that I do alone are good enough that you can put your faith and trust in me. I can identify with that in a lot of ways. When I go to the ocean and see the water and the vastness of the ocean, I think about the power of God and the majesty of God and the awesomeness of God. You go to the mountains, you go to the Grand Canyon, you go up to Niagara Falls, you go to any of these places. Look in the sky late at night when the stars are twinkling and shining, and you can't help but see the works of God. And when you see that, when I see it, It helps reassure my confidence in a God of creation to know that if he can do all this, surely he can take care of the situations in my life. And I can trust in him because of the works he's done. He's proven himself to me over and over and over again. It's evident. And because of the works that Jesus has done through the incarnation, we're seeing the true workings of God. Not just the workings of a mere man as some that would be in the presence of Jesus in the body right here might would think, but they're seeing the workings of God. Because Jesus is incarnational. Our relationship with Jesus is incarnational. What does that have to do with us? The last part of point one will tell us. In relationship to his commission to us. He says, greater works than these will be done because he goes to the Father. Think about this for a minute, all right? It's going to work this. It's going to all unfold as we go through the message this morning. God's authority is found in him. God's work can be seen in him, meaning Jesus. What happens when the witness of Jesus is gone? The Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. And that the light of the world is removed from the world. Does the world become dark once again? No. Jesus said that you are the light of the world. That you are to let your light so shine that men may see your what? Your good works. That they may glorify God in heaven. Our relationship with Jesus is incarnational. Just as Jesus and the Father are one, we don't have the same Father-Son incarnation thing going on, but God has provided a way that we could be an incarnation or a revelation of God in this world. How does he do this? How is our relationship with Jesus incarnational? It's through the work of the Holy Spirit that comes to dwell within each and every believer. You accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and then the glory of God can be seen through that working of the Spirit. Where we see that incarnational relationship. We are to be incarnations of the gospel to our world around us. In other words, we are to let the gospel, the concept, the ideas of the gospel embody us. So as we go out into the world, they see us, they see the gospel. That's a high calling for the children of God. Our relationship with Jesus is incarnational. This is how he sets things up. This is where we are when we trust in Christ. But then it goes a step further to the second point. Our relationship with Jesus is transformational. It's transformational. It changes us. It makes us to be more like him. As the song a little while ago said, I want to be just like you. It causes us to be Christ-like in all of our actions. How does this work? Well, it works in relation to his purpose. He says here in verse 13 and 14, he says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Anything you ask, if you ask it in my name, I will do it. This is in relation to his purpose. Whatever we ask in his name, we're asking on behalf of Christ, he will do. We're asking according not to our purposes, but to the purposes of God. When we ask in his name, we're asking on his authority. You know, it's interesting living next door to the Hamilton House, Oliver. That's where you live now. But Alan Carroll used to live there several years ago. They had a little boy named Zachary. And Tanya was reminding me of a story where Zachary came over to the house one day when he's just 2 or 3 years old. We had a lot of runaway children in those days coming over to the house from their house. But he came over in his fireman's hat and his rubber fireman's boot and his fireman cape. And that was it. And came knocking on the door one day. So we had to return him back to his rightful owner there, and wasn't a problem. But what if Owen was to come over to my house and say, Pastor Myron, I need a screwdriver. Would I give him a screwdriver? I don't think I would. I don't think he would need that. But if he was to come over to the house and say, Pastor Myron, my daddy needs to borrow a screwdriver. May I borrow it from my daddy? I might would do it. I don't know. Maybe Ashley would be more likely. What's the difference? Because in the first instance, he's speaking on his own authority. I need this. In the second instance, he's speaking in representation of his Father. And he's saying, my Father needs something. I'm asking it of you. And in that case, I would grant it. Why? Not because he's speaking on his own behalf, because he's speaking on behalf of his Father. When we ask things of God, we are to ask on behalf of Christ to his Heavenly Father. Yeah, the purpose of this is that the Father would be glorified. It said it right there in the text, that he could be glorified in whatever it is that we do. He may be glorified, verse 13, in the Son. We want to glorify God. Again, if we're speaking on his behalf, he will grant it. Perhaps maybe we don't have because we don't ask. Perhaps maybe we don't have what we need because we've asked incorrectly. We've asked in our own for our own abilities and for our own resources instead of asking according to his purpose. See, when our relationship with Christ is transformational, then our purpose is not what's guiding us through life. It's the purpose of God. When we're asking God for his purpose to be accomplished in our life as us as fathers, then we're asking God, what do I need to do as a father to be the best father I can be in this situation, Lord? I don't know if any of you have faced those situations yet as dads or not. My kids are getting older now. Some of your kids got older and out of the house, and you know what I'm talking about. But every day can be a challenge. You're constantly want to maintain the fact that you're in the will of God. But yet through the Holy Spirit, if we're asking according to His purpose, we'll be asking things according to His purpose instead of ours. Our relationship with Jesus is transformational in relation to His purpose, but also in relation to His commandments. It says in verse 15, if you love me, He says, keep my commandments. What commandments? Well, when Jesus was asked what the best, greatest commandments were, He says, two, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you got this accomplished now? You've got it perfected. You love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. All the time, every time, no matter what situation, you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You never hold a grudge against God. You never hold any bitterness towards God. Have you got it figured out yet? You know how to do it? Well, maybe it's a little easier with that first one than it is the second one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Have you got that one down pat yet? You know, I figure there wouldn't be commandments if they'd be easy to do. That's why He has to command us to do it. And that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to have our minds transformed to where we love the way God loves. That's not something that's going to be natural for us. It's going to take a change of a thought process, but it's a process that God gives us through His Word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, I'll say this, our relationship with Jesus is transformational in relation to His empowerment of us. He says here in verse 16, and I will pray the Father that He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. His empowerment of us. How's all this to be accomplished? How's God going to transform us? His purpose. How is our purpose going to become what God's purpose is in our life? How's that transition going to take place? How is it that we're going to love the way God wants us to love when there's so many people out there that seem to be so unlovable? Well, God's going to empower us to do this by the sending of a helper. It's a paraclete is the word. It's a helper. Some translations call it a comforter. Maybe your translation has something different there. But it means one who comes along beside. It means another helper, another there. There's two ways that another can be translated in the Scriptures. One is another of the same kind, and the other word is another of a different kind. The word they use here in the text is another of the same kind. He's of the same essence as Christ. I'm going to send you another. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit into the church. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit into the believers that He will enable you to do the things that I'm asking of you to bring forth that transformation. It can only be done through the Holy Spirit, not through our own power. In our own power and own pride, we'll never accomplish His purpose. In our own abilities and our own power and own pride, we'll never accomplish His commandments. But with the empowerment that He gives us through the Holy Spirit, we can do what God desires for us to do, but only when we have Christ in our life and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. It says here that He abides with us forever. He never goes away. No more anxious hearts, as we talked about last week, where they were concerned about Jesus leaving them. He will be in you, the Bible says. Do you see what's happening here, though? Just as the Father is in the Son through that incarnational relationship that we talked about a little earlier, the child of God is incarnated by the Holy Spirit of God and transformed by His Spirit. So now as Christ was the representation of God in the world, so now the believer is the representation of God in the world, of Christ in the world. What's the purpose of that? Well, the final point says our relationship with Jesus is revelational. It's revelational. It reveals God to the world. And let's look over to the other Holy Spirit passages in John. John chapter 16, verse 7 is where I want you to look. 7 and 8. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, we just talked about him, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. For when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. So we see the revelational aspect of the Holy Spirit coming. It's in relation to His holiness, it says. It's to your advantage, it says here, that He goes away that the Holy Spirit may come, because the Holy Spirit is God's agent of activity in the church age. It came at Pentecost, as the choir sang about a little bit ago. And the Bible says he's the restrainer. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer. And it is a he. When you see it, a reference to the Holy Spirit as always in the masculine form, it's a he, it's not an it. Don't say, I got it, the Spirit. It's not it, the Spirit. It's he, the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third part of the Godhead, the third part of the Trinity. And as the Bible says, when the strainer leaves this earth, all chaos will break out on earth during the tribulation period. He's the restrainer. It reveals his holiness through the conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. The holiness of God will be seen. People will see God's holiness through our relationship with Jesus. It's going to reveal the holiness of God, at least it's supposed to. Our relationship with Jesus is revelational too in relation to his judgment, verses 9 through 11. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. In his judgment, we see the conviction of sin. Why? Because they will not believe in him. They will not believe in Jesus. This is a self-centeredness that can be seen all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had the opportunity to bypass the will of God and to be as gods themselves by eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan got them to doubt the word of God even in those days. To enable them or tell them that they'll be able to think on their own and bypass their relationship with God and their need for God. They took it. Their self-centeredness went all the way back to the garden, and it's here now too. Why? Because we're convicted of sin because they do not believe in Jesus. He's convicted of righteousness. No one is righteous. There's none righteous, not one. There's no one righteous apart from Jesus is what he's saying. Why? You'll see me no more, he says, through the cross, his death, burial, his resurrection, the ascension into heaven. You'll see him no more. The righteousness of God reveals his judgment. And finally, conviction of judgment as well by Jesus and the cross. It says, through Jesus, Satan is judged for all eternity. Our relationship with Jesus is revelational, okay? It reveals his holiness. It reveals his judgment as we have it through the Word of God, and we can warn people of the judgment that has come because of the Word of God. But also, finally, in relation to his authority through us. In relation to his authority through us. Look at verse 12 and 13 of chapter 16. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. You can't handle it right now. It's more of a load than you can handle. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whoever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, and he will declare, he will take what is of mine and declare it to you. You see, when the Spirit of God will come, he will guide us into all these things through the authority of the authority of the Father will be seen once again through the church, through the Holy Spirit, through the empowerment that God has brought through the Holy Spirit, through the transformation that's taken place in the lives of the believers. We see this happen in the book of Acts with Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes and empowers the church. Peter, who was the one to deny Christ three times, is the one that's preaching with the power of God, and thousands of people are getting saved. And from there on, through the book of Acts, we can see this over and over and over again to the completion of God's revelation, which is God's word that we have in our hands today. It's the inspiration of the word of God. It's God breathed, and it's given to us so we can have the instruction that we need to live our life in a godly fashion. Let me review it very quickly here. They've got three things here. Here it is. It's kind of fun. The incarnation reveals his authority, his works, and his commission to us. The second, the transformation there, reveals his purpose and his commandments and his empowerment of us. And then finally, the revelation there, his holiness, his judgment, and the authority through us. You see the pattern. You see the guidance of God through us. We start out in the beginning, the incarnation. This is where we are when we come to Christ. His authority is placed upon us. His works are evident. It's drawn us to himself. And he commissions us to do the things that the church is to do. And how do we do that? He transforms us through the power of the Holy Spirit so that his purpose becomes our purpose. His commandments become our commandments. And he empowers us through the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit within us. It transforms us to make us be what He would have us to be. And then the last row there, all this is to reveal Christ. It reveals His holiness, His judgment, and His authority through us. It started in the upper right-hand corner with His authority, and it ends with the upper left-hand corner with His authority, and lower right-hand corner demonstrates His authority through us. So you see what's happened. The guidance of God through the Holy Spirit has transformed all of this to make the church to be a witness for Himself. And the only way this is possible, do you see the common denominator of all the words that are up on the screen there? The common denominator is His. It's His authority. It's His works. It's His commission. It's His purpose. It's His commandments. It's His empowerments. It's His holiness, His judgments, and His authority that He's given to the church to carry on His ministry here in the earth. It's His guidance. We've got to trust in Him. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And how in the world can we be the dads that we're supposed to be if we don't have Christ in our lives? How in the world can we be the children, the witness that this world needs if we don't have Christ in our lives? Old Tommy gave me a letter this morning out of the paper that he had made a copy of, and it was this Jewish person talking about enjoying going to Christian services because he's inspired by the do-good messages that he hears in those services. It's not about doing good, it's about doing God in all aspects of our life. So God has promised us all this. God has taken us from where we are to where we need to be, to transform us, to change us, to show His glory. He can do that in our homes through our fathers. He can do that in our homes through our mothers. He can do it through our workplaces as co-workers or bosses or whatever we may be. He can do it in our families as well. He wants to guide us in the path of righteousness. The question is, are you willing to let God guide you? Or you want to do it yourself? I'm submitting to you this morning that Jesus is the answer for guidance. If you want true guidance, if you want true success in your life, it'll only be found in Christ Jesus. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this day, and we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your blessings to each and every one of us here today. Lord, for the dads that are here today, I pray this morning they'll pray for Your guidance as their role as a father. No matter what stage of fatherhood they may be in today, maybe they got young ones at home, all the way from Robbie with a newborn, all the way up to the oldest dad here, which today we've already identified. The role of the father has not ceased. It continues. Still have the responsibility to be a godly example. And the only way we can be the example that God would have us to do is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we all want to have that kind of testimony towards the world. We want to have a testimony that draws people to Christ. We want to glorify God. We want to reveal God in our lives. I think the chart that was on the screen would demonstrate it. And if you carried it, if they took notes, they can see that. They can follow that chart either down or across. Either way, they can see how God can take where we are. He can transform us into something that glorifies God. And Lord, it's my desire that I glorify God with my life. And it's my desire also that everyone here today, within the sound of my voice, if it be in the service today or perhaps even listening on the internet down the road somewhere, but it's my prayer that that we desire to have a life that glorifies You. And it's not going to do it in our own ability and our own power, but it can be done through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Lord, I thank You for the fathers that are here. I thank You for the fathers that we've had that have passed on, that have meant so much to each and every one of us in our lives, that's been a rock in our lives of guidance. I thank You for the Holy Spirit that have guided them. Lord, help us to desire to be a glorious witness for You and to glorify You in all that we do. For the Bible says, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God. I pray that's the desire of everyone here today. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you